Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, my greatest desire this morning is that each one of us will be touched by you. I know I say that often. I know that that becomes a routine request, but it is no less a heart's desire that each one of us will recognize your spirit in this place, in this sacred place that's been dedicated to you to worship you, but that each one of us would recognize you touching us, that you would speak to us in ways that we have not expected. And I ask that you would carry the message, dear Holy Spirit, that you would accomplish the work that you want to accomplish. And again, may we walk away from here today saying, you know, you were there, Lord. Your spirit was present. It's great to be in your house. Thank you for your blessings. May that be our heart today. Now, Father, we give it all to you and trust you for everything. In Christ's name, amen. The title of the message this morning is Finding Grace. Finding Grace, kind of an obscure, ambiguous type of statement. How do you find grace? And as we continue our series in the book of Genesis, I want us to come to a faithful servant, one of my favorite individuals in the Bible, and that is found in Genesis 6:8, where he received great tribute as being a man that was favored by God. And you may already know what Genesis 6:8 says. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You know, we have a little kid song, you know, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And we used to hear that at VBS, and it's an old song. But it is a wonderful truth that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to talk about how to find grace, but I'm going to talk to you about two aspects of finding grace and prayerfully how it affects you and I. And so as we consider the verse, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," I want to look a little deeper into that, because that seems so simplistic for us. And yet, does it? What does it mean to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? First, I want us to consider what it means to find grace. And so, when Noah found grace, what does that mean? And this answer that was several different questions. In order to find something, we must do what? Seek, search. So it's an active thing. We have to have a heart that wants to look for God's grace. Now, that leads us to another question. What was he looking for? Obviously, grace. That's not surprising. It's obvious. And you might be saying, "Well, Pastor, that was a rabbit chase. What was the point of that?" Right? The point is that Noah chased after God's empowerment or grace. When you and I choose to walk with God, it's a basic Christian principle that we seek after God to give us the grace to walk with him. We have to want that. We have to desire that. We have to make a decision, a concrete decision that says, you know, "My relationship with Jesus is the most important thing to me, and I want to walk with you, Lord Jesus." And oftentimes we may consider walking with Jesus having the parameters that we place on that. But walking with Jesus can lead us to things and challenges that we never expected that was possible in our lives. And so we also know that Noah could not be what God wanted him to be in such a vile and corrupt world if he did not seek God's grace. I mean, think about it. God saw all things happening on the earth. God saw all people, all the wickedness. We don't even have a comprehension of how great the wickedness was then. Maybe it's parallel to what we see in the world today here. Maybe it's not. But God looked at that and said, "I'm going to wipe off the face of the earth." That's pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Dramatic. That's pretty serious that God would come to that conclusion. And so he wiped everything off, but then he saw Noah and he saw his family. And we know how the story went about. And so Noah made a decision, and it influenced his family to stand for God. I think walking into the ark was a statement of, "I trust God. I believe what's going to happen," because they didn't know what rain was. And to build a boat to say that everything's going to be flooded with water was absurd. and they laughed and they mocked. So to enter into the boat was faith. You think about his son's wives. They were willing to leave their families for the sake of standing for God. Whew. That's a very powerful statement. And so Noah waited or chased after God's empowerment or grace. And Noah knew he couldn't be what God wanted him to be without God giving him that grace. And interestingly, when God gives us grace and power to walk close to him, it's not, I'm going to say, if you will, as I'm reading here, just a tool to receive and use. You know, God, I need your help with this today. God, I need your words to say here. God, I need your courage here. Those aren't bad things. Those are good things to call upon our Father in heaven and say, we have this need. But interestingly, it's not just something that is like a gift dropped in our hand, now you have what's needed. It's actually where God imparts to us a part of him. Giving you an example, when we are willing to stand for God and take the courage to do what God calls us to do, whatever that might be, and we rely on him, don't we recognize oftentimes that God was doing it through us? That it wasn't our power? I think when we identify the distinction that this is not me, this is God doing what he is doing. I would never have thought I could do that. I would never have thought I'd have the courage. And I could sense in my own spirit that this is God working in and through me. So God, you know, even in the oldest manuscripts, God is saying that he's giving a part of himself. See, well, he already lives in our heart, but it's like the fullness of the Spirit of God. It's how we would look at it in the New Testament. You know, to be filled with the Spirit is to be fully aware of that spiritual relationship with God and very in tune with a keen focus on God. And then being enabled to do what God wants us to do. That's God imparting to us that much more. So to gird us up and to give us extra grace in doing what God has us to do. And so it wasn't just a tool, but it was actually God giving a part of himself to us. Now, God's power and his presence is working through us. Corrie ten Boom, as you know, if you haven't figured out, I've been reading one of her books. And oftentimes she was put in situations where she couldn't do something without relying on God's grace. And she was thinking about this extension of a tool, and I'm saying as an instrument. But what she learned was that it was God's power working through her. There was somebody that was that had approached her. One of her statements in her biography was that, you know, after she was out of prison, the concentration camp, that one of the soldiers that was there whipping and abusing and all horrible things that they would do to those that were in those camps heard her speak and came up to her and said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'd like to ask you to forgive me. And so this woman guard is standing in front of her, and she got stiff, and she said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I saw the horrendous things going on. I don't think I can do this. And she felt herself stiffening up. She said, God, please give me the grace, because you forgave me. Help me to forgive. And she put out her hand and grabbed her hand and shook her hand. She said, it's like the power of God was just flowing right through me. And it was so wonderful that I realized it was God working through me, God doing his work. And it wasn't just me relying on grace, it was me realizing him doing it through me. And I think that's something that we need to remember, that when we hold that which God gives us to do his work, it's just not taking that work, it's relying on him to work through us. That's Christianity 101, is it not? That's not necessarily anything new. But I think if we keep our focus on God and a mindset, a heart set that says, God, I am looking to you to work through me. When we're called to be a witness for God or speak up for God, and we're going, I'm scared and I don't know what to say, and so God, give me something to say. And if we rely on him to do the work, we recognize him doing that through us. So Noah sought God. The only way he could have walked with God, the only way he would have been recognized as a righteous man, the only way that he could bear witness for God in a world of such darkness was because he sought after God's grace. God, I can't do this except if you give me what I need to be the man you want me to be representing you. I cannot be the husband and the father that you want me to be unless I rely on you and the grace that you give me. Now, in seeing that, God obviously saw that and saw his heart and his consistency in following God. And God was working through Noah in a lot of different ways. One, that witness. And God works through us. But I wrote down, let me put it this way. It's not using what God gives us, but letting God do his work through us. Does that make sense? Is that a distinction? It's not, okay, you've given it to me, but now I've got to muster up my energy to rely on that grace that you've given me. That's something that should not have happened. It should be that we recognize God's grace and we say, okay, Lord, I see you enabling me. I see you enabling me. Now I continue to trust you to do through me what you want to do, whatever that might be. In our private life, in our stand for God, and the work that he would have us to do, whatever that case may be. In Luke 1:37, it says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. And that's the key. We hold on to God, and nothing that challenges us will be impossible. We have a tendency to put that into a box. The easy box. The box that says, Lord, so thank you that nothing's impossible without you. And so you're going to take care of my world. You're going to take care of my issues. And he chooses and he wants to do that. But we have a tendency to confine him within our world and our needs and not shift our focus outside of that box into what God desires beyond that. Because it's scary to look at that. On account of God himself, his work with Noah was accomplished. You get what I'm saying there? It's because of God himself that his work with Noah was accomplished. We can do nothing outside of God for his glory. We can't claim any credit that we gave you this. Because God's the one that works it on our heart. God's the one that draws us to him. We know in Revelation, God's the one that knocks on the door of our heart in Revelation 3:20. It's our job or our decision to respond in obedience and faith to what God is leading us to do. I want you to know me as your personal Lord and Savior. Let me into your heart. I've heard it. I understand it. Now the choice is, will I receive you or reject you? I want you to stand for me. I want you to be that person that I've called you to be. I want you to be that light and that witness. I want you to take courage. I want you to live with me day by day. The choice is, will we respond obediently to that? And we struggle every day, some days worse than others, in our walk with the Lord because of our sinful nature. But overall, if our consistency is that, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm going to deal with my sin before you. Lord, I am not going to take my eyes off you. Lord, I'm not going to let anything interfere with my relationship with you on a long-term basis. Let's just look at it that way for a moment. Do you love your relationship with Jesus? Is that of utmost importance to you? Do you want anything to interfere to where you find yourself not walking with him closely, not yielding your life to him, not having that close relationship with him? And it should be that we don't want anything to interfere with our relationship with God. And so aside from holding on to God and his power to be a righteous, godly man in a perverse society, Noah was given an assignment to make an ark. That's the flip side of the coin. The Christianity 101 was that we have to rely on God's grace to help us to be God's people, to represent him, and to walk closely with him. That's Christianity 101. But God gave Noah an assignment. I have to share with you, in the most genuine and sincere way that I can, and I honestly don't know how this is going to be received or understood, but I mean it with the most loving heart. My desire is that every one of us as Christians will continue to walk with God so closely that we each will experience God giving us an assignment that's bigger than anything that we are. And when we see those assignments, that we follow through with faith in that assignment, and then as we do that, God will even give us more assignments. And we don't think that way, do we? Sometimes we are not thinking about the bigger picture. God, what do you want me to do as your servant? How do you want my... We know how God wants us to live, but are we willing to accept when God challenges us to do something beyond who we are? Isn't that what he did with Noah? He challenged him to build an ark. It was an insurmountable plea of God. I want to say plea is not the right word. Command. Make me an ark, the scripture said. And it wasn't a will you please make me an ark? It was an imperative statement that says, make me an ark. And Noah had to say, you know, do I accept that even though I don't know how to make an ark? Even though I have to build that in front of people that... You want me to tell people that God's going to flood the face of the earth with water when they've never seen any type of flooding, no rain or whatever? Yeah. You want me to build an ark and all the details of it? And the animals and everything that was supposed to go into it, and you're going to tell me how to do all that? Do you think that might have been overwhelming? And do you think that the key to it was his faith in God, that God would follow through? We had, most of you know, not all of you, but most of you know, milk. Mark. Wow. Mark, Stephen W. Whitwell's son. And, you know, I watched him in here. You know, we're in our 17th year here, so we've watched kids grow up into adults. And so Mark was just one of those guys that was kind of wacky, crazy, and different and on his own little path. And he loved being with the youth as a youth student, and he loved working with them. As God called him at one time to work with the youth as a youth leader. And I told him one day, I said, Mark, God's calling you into ministry. Oh, no. There's no way I'm going to be a pastor. No way. He's filling the pulpit for his pastor, preaching. He's still youth director on staff, but he's also behind the pulpit preaching to the congregation. And I told him just recently, I said, so do you think God's preparing you to be a pastor? He didn't deny it, but he didn't. He's like, just, oh, you know, that type of thing. And I have to tell you, after, you know, 16 years of the, I don't know, about 40 years that I've been in ministry, it's okay to be an associate pastor or assistant pastor because you get to do the fun stuff. You know, you can preach and you can teach and you can do all that. Sometimes you can be brought into counseling where you can counsel people, but I didn't do that too much. But it's another thing when God places you as a senior pastor because then you have to take the heat. And I believe Mark is going to be embracing that at one point in his life. But see, that's the assignment. God has put in front of him, I'm calling you into ministry. And he must have looked at that and said, All the ins and outs of that overwhelm me. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that entails. Yet I've heard you tell me that. And most likely God would have said, you let me give you the details. You let me walk you through. You walk with me and I'll carry you and then I'll shape it and develop it in a way that you will see and understand so you can accomplish the assignment. Now, as you get closer to God, there's so many Christians that get closer to God and they get afraid and they back off because God's getting too deep into their heart and saying, you know, these are things that I want to talk to you about. And some of us say, I don't want to talk to you about it. And they back off. But God never does anything in our life that isn't for our good. His desire is always to do good in our life. Good purpose, out of love. And so God may call us to an assignment. And here's what I was trying to say earlier that I didn't want to, you know, don't want it to come out the wrong way. How wonderful it would be if all of us recognize those God-sized assignments that God calls us to have. As we walk with Him, as we're close to Him, God will pull us out of our box. And He will challenge us. And the wonderful thing about that is He challenges and stretches us. We become that much more of the person that God wants us to be, that much more closer to God, and that much more used of God for His glory, like Noah was. Noah's name was honored for his faithfulness to God. The odds were great. And the greater the odds, the greater the challenge, the greater the work, the greater the glory to God, and the greater the blessing for being faithful through it. And so in Genesis 6:14, it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch or tar. God was going to give Noah the knowledge or grace needed to make a huge wooden box. Because that's what it really means in the Hebrew, box, the ark, as a monumental sign that will save his family from the destruction of such an evil world of people. Do we understand the typology in that historical event? Christ is our ark. Christ is that hiding place. Christ is that security. Christ is that provision that secures us in his hand and saves us from a dark and perverse world. He carries us through, but he's promised us eternal life, a new life. And it was a new life for Noah and his family when they opened the door on Mount Ararat and they walked out. It was a new life, a new world. Such a picturesque understanding of what God is promising in the New Testament for us. And that's what God did. You and I as believers in Christ are chosen to be a righteous, godly people. When we say a righteous people, it doesn't mean arrogant. It doesn't mean snobbery, because that's not righteousness. It means the character of God. We're to develop that character and be righteous, godly people, just like Noah was called of God to stand for him. And 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We know that word special means unique, one of a kind. Break the mold after God made you. Right? I have a lot of responsive comments to that statement, I'm sure. But we are his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, as the ark was used by God to save Noah and his family from destruction, we look in Genesis 7:23, it says, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Can you imagine the wonder of what they were experiencing in the ark? It really happened. God really meant what he said. The reality is here. Called in the ministry as a pastor like Mark, it's really happened. It's a reality. It's here. God has God-sized assignments for each of us. The closer we get to him, God will challenge us to step out of our box. I've heard so many people say, I don't have that skill, I don't have that ability, I don't. And sometimes that's true. They will see their inadequacies. But that's sometimes exactly what God wants. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. Say, God, I can't do that because this. But God says, you know what? Because you can't, I can through you and reveal myself to you and the power I want to work through you. You'll recognize that it's me, God, not you. And God will get the credit. But we have to be willing to look at the assignment that God gives us. And I can almost guarantee you that the closer you get to God, the longer you walk with God, God will challenge you to do something out of your comfort zone. And so, as Christ provided, was provided as a way of salvation to save us from destruction. And that's what he did for us. In Acts 4:12, nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, getting ready to wrap this up a little bit, as I briefly mentioned before, Noah spent his life seeking God's grace to enable him to live a right life that glorified God. God gave Noah an assignment, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, hear me. Noah sought God's grace so that he could stand for God. God gave grace or his favor to Noah by giving him that great assignment. Noah discovered the assignment that God gave him. He recognized God's favor. God saw that out of the whole world, there was a man who loved him that walked in righteousness. And now I'm going to give him the great assignment. I'm going to bestow my grace, or I'm going to give him my good favor. And you're saying, how is being told to make an ark grace and a wonderful favor of God? Because when we walk and accept the challenge, we discover him and his wonder. And he includes us in that work that brings him glory. That's awesome. That's so enriching, so refreshing. And so when we as God's people diligently seek God so we can live lives that please him, then God will use us not only as witnesses of God in this corrupt world, but as we find grace, he will give each of us an assignment as well. So, and that he should be there, we can do his work through us. So he can do his work through us. We shouldn't be there. Follow that? The assignment he wants to do is the work that he wants to do through us. Think if Billy Graham said, I don't want to. Think if the great preachers of the past, Charles, like Finney or Spurgeon, I don't want to. And I'm not just talking about preachers, because I think the church has a tendency to say this assignment or this call is related to being a minister, related to what you should be. But it's really much more simple to that. It's you and I hearing what God wants to do with us and us saying, okay. And so let's look at one last verse, Luke 16, verse 10, the first part. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. We want to grow in the Lord, accept the assignments that God draws us to. Accept the challenge that's beyond our capability. Walk in faith, not in your own strength. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities, right? I'm paraphrasing, that I might know the power of God. And so, find God's grace or his favor on you by seeking him and his power so you can be witnesses God has called you to be and discover the assignment God has for you. The favor is when God gives us the assignment. I see your faithfulness. I see your love for me. I see you getting closer. And I have always had a purpose for you, and you are ready for me to tell you what that is. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm glad that not only myself, but each of us can rely on you. Even in this message, Father, I know that I can trust you to carry the words and the scripture just as you intend to each heart. I know that it's not the vessel, but it's you, dear Holy Spirit. And I praise you for that. Help each one of us to have a growing and growing and growing desire to walk closer and closer and closer with you. And for each one of us, Father, that is a daily decision. But as we walk with you and you begin to show us, or you blatantly show us an assignment that you put in front of us, may we in love and all humility say yes, Lord. And discover the wonder of the power of God working in our lives in ways we never thought possible. And I pray that every Christian here and Christians around the world, as grandiose as that statement or that request might be, it's your desire that every Christian will walk that close to know the specific purpose and calling you have on their lives. Now, Father, bless that. Bless the invitation. Any prayer requests, any decisions of any kind, may they come forward. And I pray, Father, please, that you help me to pray for them, and may you be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.